Hi, and welcome to the Business Spotlight Series. I'm Martin Bailey, and joining us today is Simon Bennett from Vintro Limited. Welcome, Simon, and thank you so much for taking the time out to join me today. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good, Martin. Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
That's our pleasure, absolutely our pleasure. The best place for us to start this conversation off, I suppose, is to tell us a bit about who you are and what you do, I suppose.
Yeah, sure. I'm a business owner, Martin. I've worked for myself, or I've created companies with partners for the last sort of 25 years plus now. I dominantly work in the insurance sector that was heavily driven by motor insurance. And what comes with that is, you know, I get opportunities to work with various companies because of the insurance sector. I also do a little bit of business consulting with a quite a large legal firm. And my latest venture is what we call a lifestyle brand company, Vintro. And it's, again, heavily weighted towards the insurance industry.
Okay, interesting. So you say it's a lifestyle brand that's weighted towards the insurance industry. Elaborate a bit more on that. That's quite interesting.
Yeah, it's I've had a little bit of success over the years with sort of building companies with my previous partners and putting them through acquisitioning, selling the companies. And this brand really started as kind of my hobby. I'm a big sort of motoring enthusiast, particularly for English and Italian classic cars. And I created a company initially as a lifestyle around touring cars in Europe and stuff like that. And then we moved into car storage. So we stored our clients' cars. But the lure of the insurance industry brought me back. And about 2 years ago, we created Vintro Cover, which is an insurance brand for those niche owners. And slowly, but surely, the insurance industry has really pulled me back in now, and we're looking at we have a claims handling arm as part of the lifestyle brand. We've got our broking arm as part of Vintro Cover that all fits within that lifestyle, and we're moving into home insurance, asset insurance. So we create products, services, and products around one's lifestyle that is driven by the motor enthusiast, if you like.
Okay, I suppose it's a new way of thinking around insurance, isn't it? So you're a bit more targeted to the type of people that you
want. Absolutely, yeah. The insurance industry is very reliant on, you know, Google, you know, pay-per-click and digital marketing campaigns, where we create ambassadorial behavior through our membership. Our membership is free at Vintro, so it's nothing to join. But of course, what we do with that, we sort of, the data we use with our membership, we offer them car insurance, these trips, tours, and all those lifestyle products around that enthusiasm, if you like.
Right. Okay. No. Fantastic. Sounds very interesting. So, like, you've been doing this for 20 years. So there's a lot of experience that's built up over that time. But if you were to wind the clock all the way back, and you were starting from square one again, what would you do differently?
Well, back in the day, it was literally me and my business partners. We had this idea of starting our own company, a claims handling company, and we literally left our sort of a well-paid jobs and got together, and, you know, we identified our targets and we went from there. So what I'm saying, what I'll do differently if I was to start fresh from new, this, I would write a wholesome business plan. We never done that, you know. It was like, yeah, we know these contacts. They think we believe that they would follow us in the industry, and they did. And fortunately, it all worked well for us. But that's a very risky strategy today. So if I was to do things differently now, I would definitely create a very wholesome business plan. Make sure we got our objectives in there. You know, how we're going to get our customers. How you're going to market yourself. What IT infrastructure do you need? What bank are you going to use? What level of insurance, all that type of thing. So that's what I'll do differently now. I would definitely start with a business plan.
which is absolutely brilliant, because you're absolutely right. But just to help some of the listeners, I mean, why do you now see that being so important?
Because you have to measure your objectives now, because, it's over the last 20 years, particularly marketing in the digital, the world we are, you know, it's the competition is more rife, where I'm not saying it wasn't back then, but, you know, to have that plan, to actually have those set points within that plan and make sure you tick them off and measure your you know the way you're going forward is really, really key. We literally said, yeah, we'll phone up my friend Steve, he'll give us some work here and stuff like that. So it is so important to have that plan in place.
So, just, I mean, yeah, I mean, you're fortunate and these people followed you, but it was a bit of a wing and a prayer.
Definitely. And to be honest with you, most, I'm not saying, no, not most business now, but you know, that's how we used to do it back over 20 years ago. And we were lucky, but you know, today it would be too risky. You've really got to have a better process in place.
And then, you talk about plan, you're talking very much about objectives and all the rest of it. You clearly need to have a financial plan as well, don't you?
Oh,
So,
you do, yeah.
I mean, did you talk me through how you started with your financial plan? Was it just a matter of you had money in the bank and off you went, or?
Right. Okay. So I often speak to sort of young entrepreneurs starting their business, and one thing I always say to, you know, people who are starting their own business is like, you know, what is your expectations on your salary? Because I don't know many business owners who start a business and fall out of your everyday paid job, start your business, and you instantly get paid. So what we done when we started our business, we went over 2 years without any salary at all. Everything that we earned in our business went back into the business, better IT, a little bit of marketing, you know, more desks, more computers and stuff like that. So we plowed everything back in, and it wasn't until the third year we paid ourselves £100 a week. I know we're going back to early 2000s now, but we left £50,000 salaries then, and we were on £400 a month, literally. And it wasn't until really the end of year three that we started to see a salary of £20,000. I remember it's clearly. I remember my business partner say, you know, we can afford to pay ourselves 20,000. So the expectation is always, you've got to manage your self expectation when you start a business, because you've got to realize every cost has got to be paid for when you start up. So yeah.
Yeah, and and interestingly, I mean, it's really important that you start fresh with that cash flow forecast as well, so you can actually forecast what's going on and you can see how the cash is flowing through your business.
Yeah, no, absolutely. One of the most important things now, when I speak to people, and again, we were very naive, we didn't do this, but it's budgeting and forecast is so important. And it doesn't sort of take a lot to do that. All you've got to do, if you're reasonably good on Google spreadsheets or Excel, Microsoft Excel spreadsheets, you know, put all your outgoings in and put all your incomings in, and do a simple calculation. And as you grow as a business, that will evolve, but that will keep your sanity check. And that'll also say, column say in January, right, you've got to make £4,500 this month, or you've got to make X amount this month, and our outgoings are this. And if you're constantly, like I run my business now, and there's not many days that go by where I don't check my budget and forecast plan and make sure and I'm very confident that if someone say to me, where is Vintro going to be next month? I'll say, we're going to be there, and I'll be within £100 of that. Or if you used to say to me, in 12 months with contract wins, I'll be within 5 to 10% of those forecasts. And I absolutely think that's gospel in our business. I really do.
And what, so you, I mean, you're absolutely right. It should, I mean, gospel, it should be. And what do you think it does? I mean, why, what behaviors does it generate?
Well, first and foremost, it keeps you focused and it gives you a reality check. Because if you don't have that, and you've got no awareness of what your costs are going out of your business, then you could find yourself in dangerous territory. So I personally think the budget and forecast is one of the most important things for you to have a handle on in your business. So that's what it gives you. And also as well as the frightening stuff, you know, it can be pleasant and give you the good stuff, which then allows you to prepare and plan for, you know, further investment into your business. So yeah.
I mean, I think the famous saying is, sales are vanity, profit sanity, but cash is king.
Yeah, no, absolutely, it is. I've changed a little bit my views on that. You're absolutely right, but I'll give you an example where sometimes that differs. Cash is definitely king. That's without a doubt. Profit is sanity, and turnover is vanity. But I'll give you an idea what an American guy said to me once back in 2015. When you have a high turnover company, and you're only netting 2%. The American culture quite like that, because the best I can describe it is like if you was to look at a corridor full of turnover, and as you open every one of those doors because of that turnover as an opportunity to then fold back into net profits at the end of it. So you're absolutely right, and our listeners will know that saying, you know, profit is sanity and it will always be. But if you are in profit, so say if you set yourself at a board of 10-15% net profit, but you achieve only 3, but you're still in profit, but you've got a high turnover, that corridor of doors could open up opportunities through that turnover. So there's just another way of thinking of things. And I always explain that by they call them vice presidents of a big large insurance company, and that was that opened my views up a little bit.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think the key thing about having high turnover but low percentage margin or low percentage profit is that you really need to know your gross margin and you need to know it inside out.
No, you do. It's the Tesco's model at the end of the day. You know, they make 1 or 2% net, you know, but they have a huge turnover. And you've got to remember, it's like if you are going to follow through acquisition, and some of your listeners might say that's right or wrong, but by having a high turnover but remaining in profit does become very, very attractive to potential acquisition, because if you're a £5 million company, 15% net profit, that's great, but you could be a 50 million and 2%, and I can tell you now that 50 million 2% will be more attractive to the market.
Yeah, because there'll be a lot of synergies that they can remove, which all of a sudden will make them immediately a profit.
Well, this is another thing, you see, Martin. If you have a high turnover company, so why you'll be attracted to acquisition is because, say, if you had your own HR team, and this happened to me in my previous company, and we had our own account management team, when we were taken over by an American corporate, they had central billing, central HR. So they can immediately lose so much cash off the bottom line at your year end. And that 3%, 5% could turn into 10 just like that, because they centralize, because they're a bigger group. So that's why sometimes the turnover, as long as you are in profit, can be good.
And that's where they drive their ROI. They drive a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I mean, obviously, when you were starting out and building all the, you know, your businesses over the time, the one thing that everybody really, really normally struggles with is how they master their time, how they prioritize their time. What sort of learnings or knowledge could you share around that would help people really get a grip of it?
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, Martin, I've never really struggled with time management. I must be very lucky, you know. So, of course, I've had some pressures of time management, but generally, I've been pretty good at it. But I know, as many of your listeners know, starting a business, you tend to do everything yourself, unless, of course, you've got the financial support to get other people in straight away. But that doesn't often happen when you start a business from fresh. So the most important thing to now, what I realize in my journey of owning various different companies over the years, is, you know, it's very important that you must remember, as an owner, you are the creator, you are the driver, you are the brain behind the business. And it's very important that you work on your business as opposed to working in your business. And I can now really, truly recognize this now. So I very rarely now get drawn into the daily grind. You know, I'm totally aware that our business needs me concentrating on our strategy. And that's a fact. In my younger days, in my younger years, I couldn't see that. You know, I was doing claims handling, I was making the tea, and the next minute, I was dealing with an insurance company, and the next minute, I'm taking the staff out for a drink. You know, we'd done everything. But now, knowing what I know now, I concentrate on the strategy of our business.
Okay. So you said you were fortunate in terms of you've never really had an issue with time management. So what sort of hints and tips could you share with people in terms of that you've used that have helped you that might help them?
Yeah, to be honest with you, it's good diary management, and also not you know, over promising your clients. As an example, now, you know, I know we've just merged our company Whoop into Vintro, but I was actively running from my desk here at home. I was running Vintro, I was running Whoop, and I also worked for a largest law firm for a consultancy role, and I managed those three diaries. But it's a simple thing. It's like, if you're going to put, you know, a meeting in one diary, make sure that you send it to your other emails and update those diaries. That's just a simple method. So you can look at your your phone in the morning, or your tablet or your computer, and say, yeah, I've got that date. So you're managing time. So as an example, I always try and do my work with my law firm on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and I block that time out. So it's not always easy, but again, if you've got good people around you, which I have, two fantastic business partners, and we know our roles very, very clearly in our business. And so when something comes into the business, I know that will be looked after by either one of my partners, because that's their particular area. So it's time management for me has never really been a huge issue. But it use the tools around you. And also, as well, we live in a digital world now. IT, tech, all those systems are there to help you, So yeah.
Yeah, no, good advice. Now, I suppose just to tell us about to finish our conversation, wrap our conversation up. Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years, Simon?
I'll be semi-retired. We got a strategy. Another thing, I do in business, I work very transparent. We wear our heart on our sleeve in business, and all our people that work for us, and all our partners and acquaintances in our industry, we are selling this business. That's what we do, and we make that very, very clear. And so we're 1 year into a 6 year strategy. So come 5 years' time, you've asked a question. I won't retire, but I will semi-retire 3 days a week, and probably be driving classic cars around Europe.
Sounds like a plan to me. Sounds like a plan. So, just in departure, I mean, in terms of growing a business, what final words would you give to our listeners about your advice about how to grow your business?
So today, now, to grow a business, this you it comes back to that business plan. You've got to have strategic points. You've got to have your market, and have you measured your market, where you're going to get your clients? So to grow a business, you've got to have a real strategic market and plan. That's one thing. One thing that is so important, that sort of we touch base on the sort of budget in the company. And again, this is so easy now. The first thing to do when starting a business, to grow a business, is get the right accounts package. And I'm not sponsored by Xero, but anyone who's listening to this, have a look at Xero. It's very intuitive. Understand the basics of profit and losses. And even if you're not sort of got a mind for accounts, there's plenty of tutorials on YouTube. Go and have a look at that. But Xero is absolutely paramount to your business. It's literally £35 a month, if that. It's very intuitive to use, and that alone will help you grow a business.
Yeah, that's good advice. I mean, at the end of the day, you're right, because any of your decisions you need to make based on facts and figures, not just on your gut instinct and intuition.
Yeah, and also I find with using a system like Xero, it starts helping you manage your business and start looking at different things. As an example, you'll see, like with our, as being a lifestyle business, we can say, well, we're bringing so much income in from car storage, we're bringing so much in from our car insurance. We can ever start, and so if you've got a leader in there that's clearly excelling in your business, you go, we need to play more marketing into that. And by having a handle on your accounts, such as Xero, that gives you that information. You say, well, we need to play our market into car insurance because that's given us the best return. That's what our clients are wanting from our brand. So it gives you that insight.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and that's great advice to finish on, because QuickBooks Xero, they're both great packages.
They are, yeah.
I think I a number of clients of mine work with Xero, but it's quite a dynamic package, which I think is what you're saying, in terms of being able to interrogate the information on there and make some sound judgments and decisions about how to take your business forward.
Absolutely.
Simon, this has been fantastic. There's I can't tell you how much good stuff is in here for our listeners. So thank you very, very much for sharing with us today. It's
Yeah,
been an
no
absolute
problem.
pleasure having you on, and I wish you all the best in your 5 years' time, semi-retirement, driving classic cars.
That's great, Martin. Thank you very much for having me.
No, you're welcome. It's been my pleasure. Thank
All
you.
right. All right. Take care.
And you.
Bye-bye.